I'm amazed or perplexed or just kind of overwhelmed sometimes about the grace of God and how that he is able to bring things to pass or able to just take what we think is a real mess and straighten it out. And we just need to back up a little bit and let him have control. And I've been listening to an individual that has this, he's been talking about the words of Christ on the cross. And this is not, before I preach, I want to say something. You know, what I say later doesn't amount to anything, so I want to say something. He says, you know, when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, and I'll just do the Father part. Father, when Jesus tells us to pray, he says, begin by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven. When Jesus is with Lazarus, he says, Father, I thank you that you always hear me when I pray. And when Jesus is on the cross, he says, Father. So there's nothing has changed in the attitude of Jesus towards the Father, even while he is on the cross. And he speaks of forgiveness, and I'll extend a little bit. On the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about forgiveness. But on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Paul later says that if they knew what they were doing, they would have never had him crucified. So Jesus says, Father, forgive them. That means it put in motion the divinity of Christ and the humanity of Christ, that he is the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, because he says, Father, forgive them, those who had, you know, the Romans who had whipped him, beat him, those who had nailed him to the cross, stuck him up in the air in this painful place, the religious leaders who condemned him, and the people who cried out, crucify him, and all of those who by extension have sinned, us, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. So when we think about the cross and we think about Christ coming, starting in the manger, starting with the announcement, and that's what we are doing today, is the announcements that Gabriel made to Zechariah, to Mary and Joseph. We're finding out how God had a plan, and that plan had a sequence of events. And a sequence of events that God is performing to fulfill his plan from the beginning of time. The curse, as far as the curse is found, from the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden and this fall of man to the coming of Christ, as far as that curse is found, there is the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Amen. We could quit with that. Okay. No, you're not so lucky. So God sent the angel Gabriel to Zechariah, to Mary and Joseph. The message became the biblical narrative that we are going to read today. But we must always remember that what has come at the birth and the narrative of Jesus has been planned out many centuries before. So he doesn't just show up. It's been planned out centuries before. So when the angel Gabriel made the announcement to Zechariah, we'll read that in Luke chapter 1, verses 11 to 20. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Now, Zechariah is a priest, and it is the priest in the temple, the holies of holies, and there was like one priest was designated, you know, to be this priest that would go into the Holy of Holies and take the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice, into the altar. Well, this only happened once a year, and it's like they drew lots, and one priest was chosen. So, I mean, there's hundreds of priests. Right? So, Zechariah was chosen to be this priest, that he was by lot chosen to go in and offer this blood sacrifice around the altar. While he is in the holies of holies, this inner sanctuary where the Ark of the Covenant is, you know, the angels, they put together and the Ten Commandments are in their mercy seat, that Holy of Holies, Zechariah is chosen to go in there. And the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. So the altar of incense, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said unto him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." So what prayer is it? The prayer that has gone on in his life for many years. Many years. Because his wife, Elizabeth, the two of them are old, beyond childbearing years, and they have not had a child. And so that was considered a curse from God, that there was some sin in their life, and that they had done something wrong. That's why they couldn't have children. Well, so their prayer has always been for God to give them a child. And so and the angel says to him, "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call him John." Now, calling him John doesn't seem too bad to us, but it has, you know, usually children would have names of parents, grandparents of the house, you know, David of the house of Jesse, so you have these connections to their ancestors. Well, we find that here, the angel tells Zechariah, "We're not doing that now. You're not going to have a son. You're going to name him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." He's not to take any wine or fermented. This was mean. It was a Nazirite vow. He was to have a vow upon his life from birth, and that he was not to cut his hair, he was not to be, drink wine, he was not to any of those things. He was taking a vow from his birth. Now, remember maybe we'll probably read it maybe next week or another time, that when Mary goes to Elizabeth and they're greeting and John leaps within the womb of Elizabeth, this baby that's being foretold, he was filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born. This is quite a guy. Verse 16, "And he will bring back many of the people of Israel to their Lord God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, and turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteousness, to make ready a people prepared for God." Boom, what a declaration. Then Zechariah has a comment. "How can I be sure of this?" You know, and I know I've spoken on this, I can't remember, but sometime in the last 6 months or so. "And how can I be sure of this?" If God shows up in an angel, Gabriel, and he tells you something, don't ask questions, okay? You know, don't ask, "Well, how can this be? Are you sure that you're talking to the right guy or the right woman? You know, can you give me some kind of sign?" Okay, I'll give you a sign. I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. You fool. He didn't say that. And you're asking me for a sign? And I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. I think this is one of those, if the Bible were made up, they'd leave this out, you know? They wouldn't put stuff like this in there. But these are events. "And now you will be silent." You want to, you know, that would be a prayer for some women or men to have for one another. "You're going to be silent for, you know, 9 months." And so I hope all of you come back speaking next week. "And and now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Boom. I stand in the presence of God. You know, I just think Zechariah, you know, he's in the temple. I think maybe he's like us in the sense that nothing really spectacular ever happens in our life, and suddenly an angel shows up. And in the bad things, there's many bad things we can point at and say, "We don't have a kid, we don't have a child," and people to make fun of my wife and, you know, all those things. But no, let's go on. So Gabriel informed Zechariah, a priest, that they were going to have a child. And more than just an announcement to an elderly couple, more than that, this is a fulfillment of prophecy, Isaiah 40, verse 3. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So there is prophesied by Isaiah 740 years prior to the birth of John the Baptist, that there is going to be this individual coming. This prophetic message speaks of a person who will come before the Messiah. You know, it's something just to say that a Messiah is coming. There's a prophecy of the Messiah, virgin will conceive, be born in Bethlehem, and all of this. That seemingly would be enough. But no, we've got an extra. We've got an extra on top of this. We've got another prophetic person who's got to show up, and he's got to come before the Messiah. So now we have two miraculous births. One through human relationships of a husband and wife, Zechariah and Elizabeth, and the other by a divine conception, Mary. And so we find Jesus in the womb of Mary. So we find that we have two impossible situations coming to pass. And Gabriel, the angel, sent by God, who stands in the presence of God, brings the message. Now, one of the things we mentioned on Wednesdays with angels, they are messengers of God. So when Gabriel says, I've been sent by God, he is a messenger, and he stands in the presence of God, and God has given him this message to deliver. So in these verses, we see God's power over human limitations. And the limitations are put out for us. Zechariah asked the angel, verse 18, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. So human limitations do not hinder what God wants to do. See, it's important for us to hear what God wants to do and not think of the limitations that are set before us. What would be a prayer that you have a desire in your heart that is set before you, that is perhaps spoken by God into your heart, and we sit here and think, well, I'm too old, I'm too young, ain't that bright. whatever the limitations are, we set them. But God is not hindered by human limitations. The miraculous conception of John between his parents demonstrates God's power to overcome natural barriers. And what it does, it emphasizes unto us the sovereignty of God, that the sovereignty of God is the right of God to exercise his ruling power over his creation. God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. But he doesn't do things in a hurtful, spiteful way, because God is grace and mercy. He would never do that to his children. He allows our sin to produce our problems, but he doesn't cause the problem. You know, he didn't cause Satan to rebel, but Satan rebelled. He doesn't cause us to sin, but we are drawn away by our own lusts and enticements. You see, so God will not make you do something, but he will lead you. He will lead you in the path of righteousness. So Isaiah 43, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. This was the mission for the one who was coming, John the Baptist, the child of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Preparation for the Messiah. John's role was to prepare the hearts of people. The second announcement made by Gabriel is to Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now this is put in reference to Zechariah and Elizabeth. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, So Zechariah and Elizabeth were having a child now, as God had prophesied through, and God had, the angel Gabriel had spoken to Zechariah and told him. So now it's 6 months has gone by. God sent an angel, the angel Gabriel, to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, descendant of David is extremely important because that's the promise given to David. That's the promise given to Abraham. Through his descendants, all the world would be blessed. Through David, his ruler would sit upon the throne of Israel forever. Who is this? The virgin pledged to be married is of the house of David. Both Mary and Joseph are lineage from the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, sometimes we say, well, Mary, and she was a very, very special individual. She's the only woman on the planet who's ever lived that God chose to be the individual who would bear his son. So she is one special lady. But she is not divinely conceived. There are some who say that there is a divine conception of Mary. No. If Mary was divinely conceived, then Jesus is not really fully human. So he can't be fully man. He's fully God and fully man. And he takes his divinity and he sets it aside to become man. And he does that through the birth and being the baby born of the Virgin Mary. So highly favored, one of those wherever I was there, highly favored is whenever we talk about the Holy Spirit, his grace and his mercy, it means divine favor. You, by God's grace, are divinely favored because of God's grace and his mercy. See, grace is, you don't deserve, grace is, this is my attitude towards you, grace, which is divine favor, divine grace. Mercy is, you deserve judgment, but I choose to forgive you. That's Jesus on the cross. Forgive them. That's mercy. They should be judged. Mercy. So divine favor means you have a holy favor on your life because the Holy Spirit is with you. So these things just don't apply to Mary and Joseph and Zechariah and John the Baptist. These words, these divine messages speak to us about how that God has looked at you and says to you, you are highly favored because my grace is sufficient for you. That my power is made perfect in your weakness. Mary, what happens with her? How can I have a child? My power is made perfect in your weakness. I'm telling you, you're having a child, but don't get upset about this. Don't worry about it because that which is conceived in you is of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, the divine favor of God, is births dreams in us and gives to us power and assurance and grace and all this to go along with living for God. So there is nothing too difficult, nothing beyond the power of God to work in our life. You are highly favored. Not to be the virgin mother of Jesus, but highly favored to produce the word of God in your life where the word of God will be fulfilled. You will conceive and give birth to a son, verse 31, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary says, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" That was not the doubt of Zechariah. This was an honest question from a 15, 16-year-old. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Important to notice, the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. This is important. Verse 37, for no word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. Nothing that God speaks to you through his scriptures, nothing from God's word will ever fail. And so what does Mary say? I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. So she looked at this, she heard this spectacular message. She didn't know about the prophecies. She didn't know, they were all expecting a Messiah, but they weren't looking for a virgin to have a child. They were all expecting a Messiah. There were numbers of kids named Jesus at that time because they were all waiting for the Messiah, so they would name their child Jesus in hopes that their child would be the Messiah. But none of them were, because Mary was the highly favored one. And I am the Lord's servant, for may your word to me be fulfilled. So this is the incarnation. This is God becoming human. This fundamental belief establishes that Jesus, who is fully divine and fully human. So when Jesus says to us that we are to believe him and to look upon him, we did this in the Sunday school, that Jesus spoke about in John chapter 3, that he must be lifted up. So the beginning of the gospel, Jesus talks about him being himself being crucified. And he says, I must be lifted up as a serpent in the wilderness, the snake that was lifted up because the children of Israel were rebelling and they got snake bit and they were dying, and all they had to do was to look at the serpent of bronze on the pole, to look and believe, and they would not die. They would be healed from the snake bite. Jesus, look upon him, the death of Christ, and believe, and you shall be saved. 1 John 1:4, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Philippians 2:6, who being the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Gabriel's words align with the Old Testament prophecy, the virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son. 700 years plus prior to the birth of Christ, it was foretold. The fourth announcement is to Joseph. Matthew 1:20 and 21. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Do you ever have trouble naming your kid? I won't go there, because what happens is we come up with a name. Oh, I remember so-and-so. I would have wanted to name my son or daughter after that person. So. But anyhow, they have the announcement, his name is going to be Jesus. So the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now, the angel Gabriel appears to Joseph in a dream, reassuring him to take Mary as his wife. Do you know what would have happened to Mary if Joseph had not gone along with this? She probably would have been stoned, or at very least, she would have been abandoned, shunned, thrown out of the community, and she'd have been a wanderer. And because her husband, now Joseph, is willing to say that he will take her as his wife. So the gossipers in town now know that they got together before they got married and broke the law. So that was the tidbit that went on in their life. So that was the scuttlebutt that was always following Jesus and Mary. But it wasn't true, because we know that Joseph heard from the angel. Sometimes God has us do things that are not popular. When I wanted to go to Maine with Rhonda for our first church, Her family was not happy. She had a job teaching in Jeanette? Penn Trafford High School, grade school. She had a job. She had a contract. And she didn't even have to have an interview. Her family was on the board. So she had an in. Not an in where you stay, but she had an in. She already hired. And I said, well, we're going to go to Maine. That went over like a lead balloon. And her one relative, I never forget this, she says, are you going to marry a preacher? He don't make any money. So, but they were very nice people, you know. Her husband, this is a little bit of family history, her husband created the ceramic containers for nuclear submarines to hold the nuclear power plant. This guy. He also made the heat shields for the Galileo space program and the shuttle. He was a brilliant man. He just married this woman who didn't think a preacher was very good. But anyhow, yeah, he don't have no money. So, but anyhow, we look at these things, and sometimes we have to do something that's not popular. She married me and went to Maine. Always said we were God's frozen chosen. Yeah, it was, I never forget, it stayed below zero for over 6 weeks. The high was like -5. And the kids never missed school, and they always went outside for recess. You know, you can have 20 inches of snow, and they'd still have school. You know, they always say it was dry cold. I know it was cold because when I had hair, I'd run out without the hair dryer and my hair would freeze. So anyhow, you do that sometimes, which is not popular, not thought of, but God will lead us. And so their devotion to what God said to them was in their whole society, they are going to be rejected. They are going to forever have a stigma on them. And Mary pondered these things and kept them in her heart. Because you can't speak of this to people. They won't understand. You know, there isn't anyone who hasn't sinned. There isn't anyone who has not done wrong. And so that's why we have to look at the grace and mercy of Jesus. When Jesus says on the cross, Father, forgive them. He's not only talking to the soldiers and to the priests and the people who crawled, crucify him. He's still speaking to us. He's speaking to us all down through the centuries. Father, forgive them. And so as we look to Christ on the cross, we see his forgiveness, his blood shed for the remission of sins. And we see also that he is going to rise from the dead, but that's a whole other story. We don't talk about that till Easter. And so we must understand that we have God with us. And for this divine announcement from God, delivered by the angel Gabriel, foretold by the prophets hundreds of years prior, Jesus is our Savior. Gabriel reveals the purpose of Jesus' mission. He will save his people from their sins. The angel confirms that Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecy. You're going to call his name Emmanuel, God with us. The angel confirms that Jesus is the fulfillment. Joseph's acceptance of the message highlights his obedience and his role as the earthly father of Jesus. So we find in these announcements, Gabriel's declaration, he spoke for God. He was an angel from the presence of God. And God sent him with a message, declaring the divine intervention of God in human history, declares the coming of John the Baptist, and he declares the coming of the Messiah. If people were making this up, you wouldn't have two divine things happening together. You have two. You just have one. We have John the Baptist coming. And in sequence, we have the birth of Jesus. God's faithfulness is declared in Gabriel's announcement, showing the fulfillment of these prophecies. For no word from God will ever fail. See, that's what Mary heard. No word from God will ever fail. The announcement brings hope to humanity by introducing God's plan for redemption. For every time you quote the scriptures, every time you hear the word, you find hope. Every time you hear the scriptures, every time you hear the word and read it, there is hope entangled in those words, because it's the word of God. John the Baptist's birth, the mission prepared the way for Jesus' ministry. While Mary and Joseph were chosen to play critical roles in the nurturing of the Messiah, the announcement and the fulfillment of these prophecies signified the beginning of the new covenant. All of this began the starting of the new covenant, the fulfillment of the Old Testament, the beginning of the new. All of this was in place to begin the new revelation that God wanted to bring to humanity, to us. We do not live looking forward to the cross like they did in the Old Testament. We live going away from the cross towards heaven, because the work of the cross was sufficient to save us from our sin, establish us in our relationship with God, and that the grace and mercy of God, the divine favor of God, rests upon his children, you and I. What a Christmas gift. What a Christmas present. The divine favor of God is something we must remember every day, every morning, every afternoon, every evening. We are recipients of the divine mercy of God, his divine favor. These are the three things that we spoke of today, that of Gabriel's announcement that changed the world. Amen? Jesus, we thank you for being that willing sacrifice, that you would save us from our sins. We are grateful. We thank you. May we never take for granted the relationship we have with you. We are forever yours, and we are forever grateful. Bless this word to our hearts and minds, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.